So much. I wanted to thank Brother Brandon, or Deacon Brandon, for that introduction. Thank you so much, Brandon. touched my heart. But as we start, grace and peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Savior and Lord of all. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, rejoice. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let King Jesus be our fix for 2026. All right. We can go to the next, moving forward. Amen. So last month, in part one of our kingdom series in Matthew, we looked at Matthew 7. That was the month of June. And Jesus commanded us to enter the narrow gate, to find the path to life, which is the way to heaven through him, through Jesus Christ. That's what we looked at last month. Today, the title of the message is Kingdom Series in the book of Matthew. And we're going to talk about kingdom prayer, the pattern of prayer. And this is part two of our lesson, of our study. And moving forward, as we look, we're going to be looking at, in August, kingdom discipleship. That's going to be in Matthew 10. In September, we're going to be looking at kingdom parables. That's Matthew 13. In October, we're going to be looking at the kingdom culture. And in November, we're going to close it out with the kingdom climax. And that's about the Olivet Discourse and talks about the actual kingdom of God and when Jesus actually comes back to earth. So I look forward to looking into that. All right. Our main passage as we move forward. One more. Our main passage will be in Matthew 6, 5 through 13. As we look at our outline, we're going to be looking at three areas. The reason for prayer, the religious prayer, and that's verses 5 through 8. And then we're going to be looking at the righteous prayer, verse 9 through 13. All right, let's pray. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, Lord. As we look into your word, we just pray that you would just touch our hearts, Lord, as we look at prayer, Lord. We just pray that you would just give us strength. We just pray that you would just give me also clarity, conviction, and courage to speak your word, Lord. May you be elevated and I decrease, Lord, because we want to see what your word has for us as we apply it to our life, especially in this area of prayer when we see things are going crazy in this world. Help us have a firm foundation in you and you alone, because everything else is sinking sand. And as we look in this passage, Lord, just give us insight. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Amen. Okay, back in October 2025, Pastor Donald Rackett preached a two-part sermon. And it was called Do Not. Some of you all may remember that. It was called Do Not. In the two-part series, he focused on Matthew 6 in part 2, which has at least 14 references In the New King James version of scripture. It says 14 do nots, if you are going through, you know, look at that passage. Jesus provides all of us a pattern, a process, and a plan for kingdom prayer. And he tells us, do not. Do not means, in translation, if you want to translate it, I should not. So do not means I should not. Amen? Jesus is the greatest preacher, the greatest teacher, and the greatest speaker when it comes to prayer, especially while he's doing the Sermon on the Mount. Because right now we're still in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus, well, when he first started doing his ministry, he did the Sermon on the Mount. In reviewing Matthew 6, Jesus focused on three topics, which are our prayer life, our worldly possessions, and our present distresses or our anxiety. So some of us have anxiety, so we're going to talk a little bit about that, how Jesus said, how we deal with that. Prayer and proper planning promotes perfect performance for our power and our present productivity. Let me repeat that. Say it one more time. Prayer and proper planning promotes perfect performance for our power and our present productivity. Question. What is prayer? Next one. Prayer is primarily communication with God. That's our talk. Prayer is communion of God. That's our thoughts. Prayer is consecration through God. That's our task. Prayer also involves our spirit. It involves our soul. And it involves our body. It takes all of us to really do prayer. Because when we look at the spirit, that's the only way we connect with God, through the spirit. With our soul, that's who we really are. We're not a body, we're a soul. But it takes the body too, because when we pray, we use our hands. We bow down. Some of us bow down when we pray. We use our head sometimes. So we use different parts of our body when we pray. So when we pray, prayer involves our spirit, our soul, and our body. From inner to outer. Question. Why do we pray? What is the reason for prayer? It's a reason for everything. God gives us a reason for all things. Let's look at part one of this outline, the reasons for prayer. Way back in Genesis, Adam, the first man, walked with God. Adam talked with God. Adam stalked God. Question, are we stalking God? Are we stalking God? Adam stalked God. We need to be all up in God's face. God does not want us to do social distancing. We should never be 6 feet away from God. God does not want personal space. He don't need no personal space. We need to be all up in his face. That's how it does. After all this stuff happened, Adam's with God. After then, sin crept in. Sin put an end to our fellowship with God. Sin put an end with our friendship with God. And sin put an end to our kinship with God. So we lost our fellowship, we lost our friendship, and we lost our kinship with God. With this sin, there was a separation. It was a death and a change in our relationship with Yahweh Elohim God. Let's look at this a passage in Genesis. We have to look at this. This kind of blew me away when I read this. Let's look at Genesis 4, 25 and 26. Okay, we do have that up. Okay. We see the first mention of prayer, and it says, of course, this is out of the Amplified version of Scripture, and it says, "And Adam knew his wife Eve again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has granted me another child for me in place of Abel, because Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born." Keep that in mind. What was born? A son was born, whom he named Enosh. At that same time, men began to call on the name of the Lord in worship, through prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. Key word, a son was born, and at that same time. That was a key word. Because Eve was looking for the Messiah. Eve was looking for Jesus. After she had lost her first son, they had another son, and she thought, this may be the Messiah. So she was looking for Jesus. We need prayer, in which God has allowed us another means to connect to him because of his unending love, his grace, and his mercy, which he displays. We have to get connected back with God. We have to be in God's face, and especially when it comes to prayer. Prayer is also used for our worship with God. God hears. In Hebrew, the word El Shammah stands for the God who hears. So with prayer is our worship to God. Prayer is used for a weapon for God in the battle of the flesh, the battle with the world, and the battle with Satan. Prayer is also used for our warfare through God in the times of need. Our battle is the Lord's, and we fight from victory, not for victory, in prayer. We already have the victory, but we fight from victory. So prayer is our worship, prayer is our weapon, and prayer is our warfare. So I tell you all, I submit to you all, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Also, I want to encourage somebody today. I know we've been going through a lot of the things been going on, how life has been, stresses. I know I'm going through my drama too. So let me encourage some of you all. Have we trials and tribulations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear or share? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Next. There is much power in prayer to endure life's trials. There is power in prayer to equip ourselves. To evade demonic attacks. We have power in prayer to evade the demonic attacks that we go through each and every day. There's also power in prayer to equip ourselves with peace, potency, and patience. We need that when we're going through prayer. We need peace, we need potency, and we need to have patience. Because sometimes God, you know, it may not seem like God is an on-time God, but he is. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He's an on-time God. There is great power in prayer, brothers and sisters. We need to tap into prayer. Because God is sovereign, prayer changes things. It changes us, or it may change the situation. So it may change us when we pray. It changes us, or it may change the situation. Moving forward. All right. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:5-6. Let's look at this passage. In Matthew 6:5-6. And it says, also, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray publicly, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, so that they may be seen by men. I assure you, most solemnly say to you, they already have their reward in full. So they're like the hypocrites when do this. Let's look at verse 6. But when you do pray, go into your most private room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you publicly. Question. Do you all want a reward? I know I do. We have a choice. Reward now for men or reward later from God. You choose, okay? It's your choice. How you want to pray? All right. First, we talked about the reason for prayer. Next, let's review the religious prayer. Okay, I have a definition for this religious prayer. And I got it from Google. I trust Google on some things. I do kind of trust it on this one. The religious prayer is prayer that is devoted to seeking connection, guidance, peace, or thanksgiving. And this is once again according to Google. That's the religious prayer. Jesus says, and when you do pray, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Verse 8 tells us, so do not be like them, praying as they do, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That's verse 8. So look at this. Primarily, every day, every hour, every minute, every second, the religious prayer is being prayed everywhere you go. Prayer is going on right now. Prayer is constantly being offered up to the Lord. Here is an example of a religious prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's a religious prayer. And then we have the extended version. Guide me safely through the night and wake me with the morning light. I love that. That's a nice prayer. It's another religious prayer. It's called the Serenity's Prayer. And this is one I love. This is powerful too. The Serenity Prayer goes like this. Grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the thing I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And some of you all repeat it with me, so we're praying right there. I love, that's a powerful prayer if you really think about it. I can remember back in 2013, I used to work at the school districts, and I used to love going to different schools, Brother Pete, or Deacon Pete. And I remember one time we had a school banquet. I would go to different banquets to different schools, and they wanted me to do the prayer. So my supervisor came up to me. She said, "Randy, I would like for you to pray for the banquet, no, the dinner before our banquet. And I want you to know, Randy, this is not church." So she told me that because she knew I was a Christian. So she said, "Randy, don't go in there acting like you're at church now." So I thought to myself, I said, "Okay, cool. This is the perfect platform for me to talk about Jesus. I can be a witness for Christ. I can say a profound, Bible-centric, spirit-moving, calling down fire from heaven prayer for sinners to repent." I was ready, y'all. I was gonna give it to them. So I got up there. It was time for me to do the prayer. I said, "Let me pray." I said, God is good. God is great. Let us thank you for this food. Amen." And sat on down. So take in mind, there was no Jesus in that prayer. There was no salvation called in that prayer. I mean, that religious prayer had no power whatsoever. And I felt so bad. I would never do that again. But I was put on front. And when I got up there, I started shaking. I couldn't pray. So, and let's be real now about this. There's nothing wrong with most religious prayers in general. Jesus did not commend, he did not condemn the religious prayers. But he condemned the people's underlying pride. He condemned their self-righteousness, and he condemned their lack of humility. That's what he condemned, not the religious prayer. The religious prayer is good. There's nothing wrong with the religious prayer. We have to remember, relationships come before requests when it comes to prayer, especially with prayer. A lot of times we want the things without having a relationship, and we shouldn't do that. Mm-mm. God may not answer or respond to religious prayers if there is no relationship, if there is no repentance, and if there is no redemption through Christ. God may not respond to the religious prayers. No, he may not listen to them if there's no relationship, no repentance, or no redemption through Christ. Keep in mind, it may not always be what you say in prayer. It's how you say it in prayer, and what's not being said in prayer. That may be a hindrance in your prayer. So we have three aspects. Number one, what do you say in prayer? Number two, how you say it in prayer. And number three, what's not being said in prayer. Many religious prayers are used repeatedly with no relationship and no spirit. Many religious prayers are sometimes used rapidly with no sanctity. A lot of times we like to spill out these religious prayers. Religious prayers are used regularly, and may be secular. I know I can testify to this one. Even when I say my grace, this is what I do it a lot of times when I say grace. I say, "Lord, thank you for this food. May it be nourishment to my body. Amen." Has anybody say that when they say their prayers? Yeah. I see some hands going up. I know we all do that. And I think nothing about the Lord. It's just so routine that, like I say, I put nothing into it. So I'm glad I'm not the only one. Amen to that. When we do pray, do not have self-righteousness and pride. When we do pray, do not have lack of humility and lack of putting others first. When we do pray, do not forget, let me say that, do not forget to have joy in your prayers. Joy is spelled like this: J, Jesus first and foremost. O, others and brothers and sisters. Y, you last. Once again, you last. Is that true? Is it true that the first shall be last and the last shall get the leftovers? Is that what you're saying, Brother Randy? Oh, no. In the upside down kingdom, the last shall be first. So stay humble. We have nothing to worry about. The last shall be first in the upside down kingdom, especially in the sermon that Jesus talks about that. We see that in Matthew 5 early on. First, we looked at the reason for prayer. Second, we looked at the religious prayer. Now we're going to look at third, we're going to look at the righteous prayer, on the Lord, or actually the Lord's prayer or the kingdom prayer. The popular shoe company, Nike, has a motto. And I see Brock is out there. So I'm sure Brock knows the model that Nike has. Nike tells us to what? Just do it. Jesus also has a motto. Jesus tells us, let me help you do it. We need help when it comes to this prayer thing. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. One more. Amen. There we go. So Matthew 6:9 begins with what's popularly called the Lord's Prayer. As we examine the format, Jesus does not pray in the sermon. He only gives us a template on how to do prayer. This is better titled the Disciples' Prayer, in my opinion. Because as we see it in Matthew 6, Jesus is not praying in this, but he's giving us a format on how to pray. The Lord's Prayer, which I love, the Lord has an actual prayer, which I love, and that's in John 17, which they call the High Priestly Prayer, where Jesus prays for himself, the Father and the Son, in John 17. Jesus prays for his disciples in John 17, and he also prays for the future disciples. He prays for us in John 17. One of my favorite scripture verses in John 17 is, sanctify them by the truth, thy word is truth. And I love that prayer when he's praying for us. He's praying for the Father and the Son, and he's praying for his present disciples in John 17. And that's what I really would like to call it. That's probably the Lord's Prayer, because he's actually praying in that. But in this passage, we're just looking at the format of the Lord's Prayer. So let's look at this prayer. And I'm sure most of us have memorized the prayer too, so which is good. So I know when I was a kid, I memorized it, and I still can. That's one of the few scripture verses I still remember. As I get older, the mind kind of changes. So let's look at this prayer in Matthew 6. It starts out in verse 9. Our Father, who is in heaven, prayer is first and foremost about God's personhood. And this is the first time that we can see God is mentioned as Daddy. God, this is the first time we see Abba Father. And it was so ironic. Must have been 2 or 3 days ago. Sister Lisa Richardson called me. And she said, Randy, I want to pray with you. And she started doing the spirit-moving prayer. And she mentioned Abba Father, Daddy God. She said, you know, Abba Father, we thank you. And I got the chills when she said that. She did this powerful prayer with me because she was helping out with my slides. And I just want to thank Sister Lisa Richardson for that. That prayer was so powerful. And she mentioned God as being a father. When we pray, we also should mention the person of God, the Father, through the power of the person of the Holy Spirit, all in the person and the name of Jesus Christ. So the Trinity is involved when we do prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is used, some scholars, they debate. They say it's about the Father and the Son. Some people say it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to go with you can include the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this prayer. Now, I'm going to go on a limb on that one, but I try to see the Trinity in all these aspects when it comes to the Father, the person of God the Father, through the power of the person of the Holy Spirit, and through the name of Jesus the Christ. Let's look at this other part. Our Father who is in heaven, holy be your name. We look at his praise. That's talking about his praise. Our God deserves all our praise. Our God demands all our glory. He demands all the glory. And our God deems all the honor. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy is his name. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this word heaven in this aspect, it's used, you know, when you look in the Greek, it's actually it's a plural form of it. Because we know we have the three heavens. We have the throne room of God. We have the atmospheric heaven. And then we have the secular heaven, the one we're in now, in the first heaven. So it's plural in this aspect. So when we pray, there's a connection between heaven and earth. And I love the fact that we have that connection while we pray. We're connected to the throne room of God. God has a primary purpose for all his children. And we see God's will being done. It is the will of God to use the Spirit of God to make the children of God look like the Son of God, Jesus. That's God's will for us. We have to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? That's God's will for us. He gave us an example. God's ultimate will can be accomplished through prayer. Verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. This should be our petition. Question, what are we petitioning? We should be petitioning first for our spiritual needs, such as the fruit of the Spirit being used for our maturity and God's purposes. God, Lord Jesus, use us. We need to be used by you. That should be our first petition. Second, we should be praying for all our physical needs. First spiritual, then our physical needs. We should pray for the little house on the prairie that you may live in. We should pray for the $1 you got in your bank account. We should pray for the frozen fruit that's in your deep freezer right now. I want to look at money when it comes to this too. A lot of times we go to a lot of, no, I'm going to call them the churches and like that, but we have a lot of false pastors and a lot of false preachers, and they say this word, money coming. I know you all heard that. And they say, if you pray to God, the money will come to you. Blessings go up, the money comes down. The praises go up, money come down. But let's look at this money. Money can buy you insurance, but it can't buy you health. Money can buy you food, but it can't buy you an appetite. Money can buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. The best things to petition are spiritual, in which no money can buy. But I am still glad, and I'm sure you all are still glad, that God, he gives us our needs and our wants. So I thank the Lord that he does that, in spite of the fact he doesn't have to. But I thank the Lord that he does that. We are rich physically and spiritually when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You have both physical riches and spiritual riches. Primarily spiritual first, physical second. Let's look at verse 12. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those debtors. You know what? We all need a pardon. Let's look at this pardon. Because we know, like I said, and forgive us our debts as we are forgiven those who have debts against us. Has anyone here ever been to jail or in prison? I'm not going to get into the stories about that, but but the universal truth is that we are all guilty of sin and have no way to escape on our own. We're all guilty. We're guilty of sin, we're guilty of self, and we're guilty of shame. Our pardon should go like this. We should talk to the Lord about our pardon. Lord, forgive me for the sins of omission, that's failing to do things I ought to do. Lord, forgive me for sins of commission, that's failing to do things I should not do. And then we have sins of disposition, failing to rid ourselves of pride, envy, and bitterness. So we all have sins of omission, that's failing to do things we ought to do. Sins of commission, that's sins of failing to do the things I should not do or do not. And then we have sins of disposition. That's sins of ridding ourselves of pride and envy and bitterness. So we all have, so we fall into one category of those sins. All of us do. We all need a pardon. Also, Jesus wants us to have a year of jubilee with other people. So Jesus pardons us. We need to pardon other people. We have relationships with other people, so we need to pardon other people. Some people may owe us financially with money. Some people may owe us personally with their accountability. And then other people may owe us as a responsibility of their actions and their choices. So we have people owe us financially, people owe us personally, and people owe us as a responsibility. Let's look at this year of jubilee. Because God, he wants us to have a year of jubilee. The year of jubilee was a principle in the Levitical law in which all debt was canceled 7 years in cycles of seven. All slaves were free 7 years in a cycle of seven. And all land was returned 7 years in a cycle of seven, which equals 49 years leading up to the 50th year or the Day of Atonement. So all debt was cleared, all slaves were free, and all land was returned in 7 years in seven cycles. I love this jubilee. Question, is today your year of jubilee? Do you need to forgive somebody or pardon somebody? Our prayer should be, Jesus pardon us as we pardon others. Let's look at verse 13, moving forward. Jesus says, And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus wants us to pray for our protection. Jesus will protect us on entering and finding the hard way to the narrow gate. Jesus will also protect us on finding the way to life, eternal life. And Jesus will protect us on the path to the kingdom of heaven while we're on earth. Jesus is protecting us. The Lord will not tempt us, but the test is coming. The test is coming. He won't lead us into temptation, but the test is coming. He doesn't tempt us, but he does test us. And it's a song that was very popular back in the day. The songwriter, Richard Smallwood, he wrote a song, and it goes like this. Lord, lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. When the Lord leads, he delivers. There is deliverance, or deliverance is the act of being rescued from doom. Deliverance is an act of being rescued from danger. Deliverance is an act of being rescued from destruction. Deliver us, Lord Jesus, Daddy God, deliver us from doom, from danger, and destruction. Brothers and sisters, continue to pray, pray, and pray. Do not pray self-righteously. Do not pray self-assured. Do not pray self-conceited. Chicagoland Bible Fellowship, we should be practical and biblical about prayer. P, praise God in prayer. R, repent to God in prayer. A, ask God in prayer. Y, yield to God in prayer. R, rejoice in God in prayer. Question, I have a question for you all. What does P-R-A-Y-E-R spell? Prayer. You all are prayer warriors. Keep on praying. Thank you so much. We have, in prayer, we should praise, we should repent, we should ask, we should yield, we should exalt, and we should rejoice. Amen. Keep on praying. Now what? What do we do when we do pray? Do pray like Jesus, who taught us a new way to pray. Do pray like Jesus, who sought us to a redeemed relationship. And do pray like Jesus, who brought us all we need for kingdom living. When we seek the kingdom first, everything else comes with it. And we see that in Matthew 6. Our prayer should start with praise and conclude with more praise and worship. Let me tell you all, in my opinion, the most powerful prayer is the sinner's prayer. It's when someone who is dead is brought to life, they're resurrected in Jesus Christ. If Jesus is calling you today to come to him right now, it's time to pray. We must do our ABCs when it comes to prayer in order to renew our relationship with God. We need to appear, admit, and acknowledge. We need to appear the words of God's call. We need to admit that we are sinners headed to hell. And we must acknowledge that we need a Savior, only Jesus the Christ. We have to believe that Jesus lived, bled, died, rose, and is coming again. We have to become a new creation, be born again from above through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. We must be baptized for your identification and the command of Jesus. We need to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. We need to choose to follow Christ in repentance. We need to commit a life of sanctification with power from the Holy Spirit. And D, we need to develop a new and living way through prayer. We need to disciple others by our testimony of Jesus, by our telling others of Jesus, and by teaching others about Jesus. In prayer, we must know and must remember that just by saying a prayer doesn't save anybody. Anybody can say the sinner's prayer. Only Jesus saves. Let me repeat that. Only Jesus saves, not the prayer. The prayer is a process of us calling out to God. That's how we're saved. That's how we get salvation. By God's calling and us accepting, not by the prayer. I know a lot of people, they say, if I say this magic prayer, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I said the prayer when I was 6 years old. It may not be. I can't acknowledge you are, but hopefully your fruits show. The problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. Let me repeat that. The problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. And when it comes to the heart, we're talking about the mind, the will, and the emotion. The enemy is the enemy. So we have to take that in mind before we do our prayer. And when we come to God in prayer, we should come with a humble heart. When we come to God in prayer, we should come with a whole heart. When we come to God in prayer, we should have a forgiving heart. And when we come to God in prayer, we should have a repentant heart. So those are the kind of hearts we need, especially when we have prayer. And in conclusion, let us all take heart. God is sovereign. Life is short. Death is sure. Hell is hot. Eternity is too long to be wrong about our standing with Jesus Christ, especially when it comes to prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just thank you that you provided us this prayer, Lord. Help us to do this righteous prayer that you want us to do, Lord. Help us to keep in mind that the religious prayer is a good prayer, but we want to make sure that we have spirit and truth in it. We just want to pray that you continue to be with us, Lord, as we go about the highways and byways the rest of this week. We just pray that we will continue to pray for all the things that need prayer, especially Pastor Rackett and Mama Rackett. We just pray for their diligence. We just pray for their service, Lord. We just want to pray for all the illnesses that are going on through the church, Lord. We just pray that you could do miracles, Lord. You're a miracle-making God. You're a miracle-working God. And we just pray that you just work things out all for your glory and help us to get in where we fit in when it comes to prayer. We just want to magnify you. We thank you, and we love you. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Amen.